The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to this week's edition of the show. Coming up today, Ryan McGuire is going to talk to us about life as a program director. Also, Russ Heltman is going to swing by, and we will dive into the Jay Williams, Kevin Durant media slash social media feud, all of that kind of stuff that happened on ESPN Radio and extended into the Twitter sphere this week. But first, so one of the biggest stories in sports media this week has been Kelly Stewart and ESPN parting company after just over a month of the Kelly in Vegas brand joining ESPN. Was supposed to be a part of the Daily Line and ESPN Bet and all of the network's gambling initiatives, but after some tweets she sent out in 2012 using some homophobic slurs, you can guess the one, were revealed, the network decided to part company with her. And look, I'm not saying that this is fair, right? People grow, people change, certainly over the course of, what, 9 years, almost a full decade at this point. But I keep hearing from people when I talk about this with folks in text messages and on Twitter saying, can you believe this happened? And my response is always, yeah, how can you not? Like, certainly you know the business we work in, right? The big wrinkle to the story came out literally the day that ESPN fired Kelly Stewart, and it was that when she was working for Bleacher Report, owned by Turner, Turner bosses were aware that these tweets existed, and they decided to do nothing about it. Now, is that about Disney being more woke than Turner? Maybe. Certainly people are framing it that way, but I think it's more about ESPN matters a whole lot more than Bleacher Report does, right? I mean, ESPN is a brand that has generated multi-platform content. They have a store of just their crap in Disney World. They had a chain of restaurants named after them. ESPN is a much bigger corporate entity, and Disney is a bigger corporate entity than Turner. I think that there are different rules at ESPN because it is owned by the same company that owns Pixar, that owns Marvel, that owns Star Wars, that owns all of these media entities that have made a big deal out of the way they treat the LGBTQ plus community and their allies, and have for a long time. If you didn't grow up in the South, you may not be aware that there's this whole generation of kids who were banned from going to Disney World because the Southern Baptist Conference did not like that back in the 90s they recognize same-sex partnerships. There is a certain corporate identity that Disney has lived with and put in the forefront for a long, long time that made this decision very easy for them. And the other part of this that I think cannot be overlooked, and this is the reason that when people say, can you believe this? My answer is always, yeah, why can't you? Is that as every network ramps up their betting coverage, I think even though there is a rush to find these talents, I don't think these talents are particularly special anymore, right? Right now, it is all about quantity, not quality. So it doesn't matter who you are. If this is in your past, maybe not every network cares about it, but ESPN certainly does, and the decision was pretty easy for them. It doesn't mean I don't want Kelly to get another chance. It doesn't mean that I don't wish her well. I'm simply telling you I'm not surprised by this. Ryan McGuire has been a part of the Barrett Media family for coming up on a year at the end of the summer. But Ryan, this is the first time you've joined us on the podcast, so welcome.
Thanks. What the hell took you so long? I mean, I've been here for a year.
Very fair.
A lot of that time I've been unemployed, so it's not like I've had anything to do but talk. So
yeah, I like to wait until I like to wait until not only do you have a job, but the single busiest season of your job to see if I can just add one more thing to your plate.
Yeah, all right. Exactly.
So Ryan, you wrote this great piece this week, sort of about the things that you kind of regret in your time as a program director. It was titled, You Don't Have to Make These Three Mistakes Because I Already Did. And rather than go through all three of these things and rehash and relitigate your career, I sort of wanted to talk about what it is like being a leader, what it is like growing into a leader, and the stumbling blocks that so many people will face in common. I mean, obviously everybody has their own problems and issues to overcome, but what are the toughest things just about learning to go from producer to host, host to program director, as you rise the ladder in a station?
Well, I think the challenges, Dimitri, are different for everybody. I can only speak from my own experience. And the biggest challenges for me in growing into leadership roles in my career in the broadcast industry really boiled down to one word, and that's patience. Mm-hmm. I've never been a very patient individual with myself. And, you know, it's easy when you're just a producer and you're kind of a one-person show. You know, you can be angry at yourself, you can be impatient with yourself, and nobody notices really but yourself. But when you have to manage people, when you have to manage personalities, for me, and I mentioned this in the piece, you know, that, you know, perfectionist mentality that I always had when it came to my work, the fear of failure, that basically, you know, that never left me. And that unfortunately is something that a lot of, you know, colleagues that had to report to me directly had to deal with.
So I want to ask you about, I guess, one story you told and one observation you kind of made in this piece. And I wonder, even though you yourself didn't link these, it was hard for me not to think they might be linked. You told this story about just absolutely jumping down the throat of a producer. And forgive me, I can't remember exactly what he did wrong. Was it an outdated promo ran during his show?
There was an outdated promo that was running on the station that this person was responsible for changing and didn't change. Yeah.
Okay. So you tell that story, and then you also write about your regret of not letting people that worked for you get to know you as a person. I wonder, as you look back now, you know, hindsight always being 2020, do you look back and sort of wonder if the ability to not let your people see you as human, and thus maybe sometimes you not seeing them as human, sort of led to no filter of being able to jump down someone's throat like that in front of their colleagues?
Yeah, that's a good question. I never really thought of it that way. I never really thought of that in particular. I think, you know, when you get to know someone as an individual, even when you get pissed off at them for doing something, it's a lot easier to deal with. And when they get pissed off at you, you're a lot easier to deal with. But when you're just the boss who always has to set the tone, so to speak, you don't see people as individuals. You see them as interchangeable pieces and parts. And let's just face it, numbers in a ledger. You know, I never really thought of it that way, but yeah, I think had I gotten to open up a little bit and, you know, become a little bit more personable, mm-hmm. and I've done that a lot more later in my career, but certainly not earlier. I think situations like that probably could have been avoided. Yeah.
You have worked for a number of different companies in this business, both large and small. And I wonder, as you are moving up in terms of market size, as your profile is growing in the business and you are moving around the country, what is it about adjusting to corporate climate, corporate environment, all those sorts of things? What is it about being a chameleon or adaptable to whatever the norm happens to be that a leader has to always kind of have in the back of their mind if they don't intend on staying in the same building forever?
Yeah, I think for me, it's fairly easy because, and it's not easy for everybody, but again, I can only speak for myself. It's always been easy for me because I've always just been a naturally curious person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always have been interested in how company A operates compared to company B. I've always been intrigued at what city A is like instead of the city I was living in. So, you know, I always have been curious, and this curiosity has just led me to, you know, explore, ask questions. And when you ask questions, you know, you You learn to adapt to whatever situation you're in, whatever company you're with, whatever city you reside in, and whomever you're working with. So I think just, you know, always being a curious person by nature, and, you know, it's to ask my parents, it got me into a lot of trouble when I was a kid, has helped me a lot in that regard.
So if you think about all the drama that happened in sports media this week, as the week went on, nothing got bigger than Jay Williams and Kevin Durant going back and forth, first on ESPN radio and then over social media. Russ Heltman sort of covered the whole thing for us. And Russ, it was really interesting to sort of watch this play out, in part because I think if you are, you don't even have to be a basketball fan, right? If you're just somebody that follows sports, by this point, you kind of know how KD rolls on social media. Everything's a slight and he's always looking to throw punches.
That he is. And he always seems to be a little riled up whenever he presses send or whenever he logs on to the old Twitter sphere. Something about that app gets KD going. But I think he had a great quote about it. I believe it was in a New Yorker piece where he stopped viewing people coming at him on social media as people coming after him. He's viewing it as people releasing their own insecurities upon him. That's what he's viewing it as. So I think that's honestly a great way to put it. But in this scenario, I got to admit, I think KD was a little bit too hateful, for lack of a better word, towards our guy, Jay Williams.
Yeah, so Jay was on ESPN radio again the next morning and said, first of all, he stands by his story, this idea that Kevin Durant one time told him never to mention his name and Giannis Antetokounmpo's in the same sentence, that he and Giannis are not even in the same stratosphere. And Jay Williams said, basically, yeah, I agree. And in fact, that's the point that I was kind of making, is that there is a different sort of drive between a Kevin Durant and a Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think that is fair. I also think that if you are KD and you have heard over and over again that you can't build anything, you're just a ring chaser, you're always going to bounce from super team to super team, et cetera, I can kind of understand why a comparison like that might set you off. Even if your buddy is saying, look, there's a different level of competitor in KD, I could see how if you are already a sensitive guy, which we know KD is, I can see how you take that as you're not going to do what Giannis did and stick around in Milwaukee and try and build anything.
All of these athletes, rightfully so, they've gotten to this position because of a little bit part, or sometimes large part, their egos. And these egos need stroking. It's a kind of tough little line to feather, or tough edge to walk across, if we're thinking about it in a sword type of term, for Jay Williams, because on one hand, he wants to be able to bring the best content and the best ability to his job each and every morning on ESPN radio. But on the other hand, he doesn't want to burn these bridges. And it's so funny how that's often the most cliche issue that all of these former athletes and current people in the media have, of what's the level of access that I can expose without exposing myself to vitriol from those people that are giving me the access?
Yeah. And so that's sort of what I wanted to hit on when I said we get into the friendship aspect of this. Jay Williams has been accused before, because of his relationship with KD, of not being critical of the guy. There is a story. I wish I could remember who told this. I think it was Dan Patrick, but I'm not positive. Said that Michael Irvin used to show up to training camps in a limo. This is when he was working in the media, because that was his image during his playing days. And that's how a lot of these guys sort of knew him and had respect for him. And he didn't feel like he couldn't do that anymore. Certainly when you're an ex-jock, you are going to have relationships with guys you played with, the younger guys you mentored, all that sort of stuff. But I am always sort of struck by the way pro athletes operate so differently, right? Like, I have tons of friends in this business who, like, I have known for years and know beyond just professional connections, that when we're talking about our families, we'll say, hey, this is off the record, right? Like, it's so weird to me that these guys who now, like, Jay Williams is a bigger media star than he ever was in the NBA. It's so weird to me that KD doesn't even have a second thought about what is and isn't off limits to talk about on the air. And I'm not saying that Jay Williams was 100% in the right. It's just not the world we operate in.
Exactly. And like, if KD didn't want that said on the air, I'm sure he could have told Jay Williams, like you just said, this is off the record, I don't want this said. And I don't know, like Jay Williams did say they were at a club or a party or something. I don't know if there was like alcoholic drinks factor into this where maybe you could have forgotten if somebody said something was off the record. I don't think Jay Williams operates like that, especially in this kind of situation.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing that I find so interesting is that this isn't KD saying, hey, that was told to you in confidence, or I said that. I thought we were just what I wanted. I mean, he used the term, it's a f-ing lie. Like he really went scorched earth on Jay here.
Yeah, he's saying it didn't happen. He's saying the conversation just didn't happen. Which,
yeah,
it's like, why would Jay Williams make that up? I don't. Right. That's where I always come to with these situations. I'm obliged to think he's telling the truth. Another reason I think he was telling the truth, and I'll tip my cap to Jay Williams, which I kind of did in the story a couple days ago or yesterday, was that he didn't get into the mud on social media. He let his platform speak for himself on the air the next morning, being able to work through his thoughts that he spent the day with the family. You got to love that out of Jay Williams.
Yep.
And he was able to come up with, I think, a very civil response on the air. And it's not turned into a snowball effect that these stories can so often lead to.
Two great conversations this week. So a big thanks to Ryan and Russ. As for what we have on the horizon next week, or at least what we are paying attention to, I think this is going to be a long-term thing. But this story the New York Post put out about NBC sort of reaching out to see if Tiger Woods was open to being a part of its U.S. Open coverage, it's a really interesting story to me. Tiger Woods obviously said no, but I wonder if this is the last time as he goes through his recovery, or if he is in fact done playing at such a high level. I wonder if NBC is done taking shots at him. I wonder if NBC is the only network that takes a shot at trying to get Tiger Woods to come on board for their golf coverage. Certainly ESPN and Turner just showed you that any so-called biggest name ever in any sport is on the table as networks try more and more to make an impact with their live sports coverage. So I'll definitely be watching that with a keen eye going forward. I will talk to you next week.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.